Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
And welcome to the Raw Preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by the Dudley Boys of What Culture, Michael Hanfler and Michael Sidgwick, here to look ahead to tonight's episode of Monday Night Raw. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts, where we're not going to review Raw, but also SmackDown, the show formerly known as NXT Dubai. AEW Dynamite, AEW Rampage, pay-per-views, premium live events. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week, complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. As I said, they're joined by Hanfler and Sidgwick to look ahead to Raw tonight and a huge tag team title match that is completely unpredictable, Michael Hanfler.
Yeah. It's tricky at the moment with the Bloodline and the Usos especially because they've been the tag champions for such a long time. I wouldn't go as far as to comparing the reign in terms of prestige to Roman's one with the title, but WWE want to. They want you to think these are one and the same. They're certainly allowing you to think about WrestleMania and what the Usos and, you know, like losing the titles on a big stage and it being worthy of that sort of thing, which creates a lot of problems, actually. Like, the New Day thing was really undercooked in hindsight, but even then, even if they'd have tried their absolute hardest to make you think, are the New Day going to be the one? There's a record worth saving here. I don't know if anybody would have bought that because that storyline is so, so strong. So to ask anybody to think, well, all the years that we've spent with Riddle and Elias tonight, maybe it's just got to be their night. Not least when they've also done Drew and Sheamus to like fight the winners on SmackDown. It's like, yeah, Drew and Sheamus, of course, also involved in a heated rivalry with Riddle and Elias. So surely this can only go one way. I don't know. It's a little bit of a prisoner of their own design because you've got to have these sort of defender titles sometimes. You've got to have these tag team matches. But Triple H loves making us like pretend to care about teams that have been together 3 weeks. Like, he absolutely loves a shocking turn on people that have barely been friends on screen before the turn. We get a lot of this from him.
Now, I think that's a bit cynical. Yes, the result on the surface of things, it certainly ahead of the show, doesn't feel like it's in doubt, but we talk about this a lot. When you book a long title reign, this is just the sort of mid-predictable byproduct of the story, that the larger, wider story that this is in service of. You want to have the Usos appear invincible so that the team you really want to win, the team that gets built up well to win, presumably Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn, it just resonates all the more as this amazing feel-good triumph when they finally beat this all-powerful unit. But yes, as Hanfler says, you have to do things in the meantime. And this is one of those things. And look, we say all along, the trick is make you feel like the result is in doubt in the moment. And with the way Triple H books, I think by the 27th or 28th minute of this match, they'll probably get there. Yeah. Wilborn, uncharacteristic of you, a consummate professional, bit of behind closed doors talk here. You buggered up the intro that no one will ever hear it.
Yeah.
Because you had to re-record it. And then even on the one that made it to the podcast, there was a bit of a slip. I think you're a little bit distracted because the babyface team are playing in the World Cup. The World Cup, it's the World Cup.
I had a rant about this.
Do them again.
How the Americans pronounce it versus how everybody else pronounces it.
Yeah. It's World Cup.
It's World Cup. Yeah. With the idea being you ever so slightly, almost imperceptibly, just draw out world.
Yeah.
The prestige and the scope of the tournament. And it's imperceptible, but it's only perceptible when you put it against how the Americans, World Cup.
Yeah. Well, because as well, they've got World Series, World Fair. It's not about the world, but is it? Because in their mind, well, the whole world's here. The whole world's in our 50 states. We've got everything here.
So it's
the cup, it's the series, it's the fair. It's like
they can't possibly sell the magnitude of world, because as you say, it's just like Arkansas versus New York. So in latest World Cup action, which obviously Wilborn's distracted by, and we really like talking about. Do you want another score?
Go on.
It is, I haven't checked it yet. 0-0.
I'll tie it up.
End to OT. I mean, it's about 10 minutes in, to be perfectly honest. But
I think when America have the World Cup in 2026, we were saying?
Yes.
Can we bring back the shootout things that they do with the penalties?
Oh,
they run from the halfway line.
Well, we can campaign for that because we'll be out there covering it, of course. Yeah.
Japan's rapid start is over now, with Croatia starting to ping the ball around a bit.
Very rare that Croatia are the heels.
It's an all babyface
situational heel, aren't they? Yeah, pretty much. Look, yeah, the Usos are going to retain their tag team titles tonight, and I sense this is probably the night. I'm so confident that this is going to be the night that Elias turns on Matt Riddle, despite not really being like he's teamed with him, and I think they've maybe won a match against Alpha Academy.
Tolerated him, isn't he?
Yeah, but he's not exactly been like, yeah. He's just like, yeah, you interrupted the moment I came back. You talked about hitting the blank. And then, you've just been sort of an annoying fly I couldn't really get rid of. I'm so confident that there's going to be a turn tonight. I wouldn't be surprised if they do the whole... Actually, that's what you thought was going to happen. But Elias turns on Riddle. Orton comes out to make the save. And then Randy Orton turns on Riddle again to really, like, double down on his misery tonight.
I mean, that'd be a far more interesting story. RK-Bro is something that people were really emotionally invested in. And if that was ever going to happen... It certainly felt for a while like Riddle was being positioned for the Randy Orton match after the Seth Rollins one as a continuation of pushing him. With the women...
Really serious injury though for Orton. I'm not making light of everything here.
With the women's division, Tegan Nox being the latest, Candice LeRae being others, Mayhem and so on. Triple H is not bringing back people that are necessarily there to be stars straight away. He's noticed a problem in the need to increase the numbers. The divisions were understaffed, underbooked, under everything. Terrible women's divisions in WWE across the board. So the first thing he's tackled, rather than match and story quality, for the most part, has been numbers.
Yeah.
Bolstering those rosters, and I guess he thinks the next stuff can come, the next stage can come. Like, does he think that's what he's done in bringing Elias back as Elias, as a perfectly suitable, something for Riddle to do guy to bridge the gap between the Seth Rollins feud and whatever Riddle's got, say, for WrestleMania? Say if it was Randy Orton, for example. Does he honestly believe Elias is that guy and thus this has been the vehicle to do it? Because what's he watching?
I don't.
Because I don't. What's he watching? Like, what evidence has he got to support that? I didn't get the impression he particularly liked that character when he birthed him in NXT. Like, and that Elias character did far more on the main roster than it ever did when the Drifter couldn't really go, like in that TakeOver era. If he assumed this would be, oh yeah, this is an established character, it's going to get a pop for a couple of weeks, but Elias is always better from here. I'll turn him, and then this will feel completely natural for Riddle to go from Seth to Elias to Randy Orton, let's say. Are you taking the piss? Like, it just, this feels, I'm not campaigning for Riddle even to get this push, but look where he was, and look at his matches, and look at his obvious ability when he's in there with somebody that can match his level. Like, I don't even think the match at the end of this, you're looking at, like, not to be cruel to Elias, but you're looking at something of a bit of a carry job from Riddle to make this decent.
Three words. He's not thought about this, is he? Symphony of Destruction.
That's what's going to happen. Called it a couple of weeks ago. I'm with you. I think Triple H failed his first test, but everyone's sucking his arse, so no one's really... we're in that era of Pepe H, and he can do no wrong. Well, he actually can. Yes, the bloodline, not good. Invisible camera aside. He inherited that dynamic. He absolutely inherited it. The first thing that he had...
I think we're in his leadership of it now, though.
Paul Heyman. Is there anything that Triple H did that is stylistically similar to what he's doing with Sami Zayn and the Bloodline in NXT? I don't want to give him credit.
I give it a bit more time, I'm able to think of something. I feel like post-Survivor Series, this feels like him Like, you can now say, right, he's in charge of it. I wouldn't have expected them heading to Christmas with the blood. I'm really glad they've done it.
Yeah.
Bloodline all together. I want Christmas cards, holiday jumpers, all that. And this feels like him smartly observing that now is the time to actually make them more together than ever.
Okay, I'll get off that Bloodline thing.
Like, but maybe just then.
Like a dog with a bone with it. Right. Riddle won the series with Seth Rollins, and Seth Rollins has just gone on to have bigger, better matches. He's won championships. He's now contending for the championship that he lost. And
there's a low-key Vince McMahon 50-50, and Riddle unwon it because they then had a US title match that Riddle lost.
I think it's a big test that Triple H has failed, because I couldn't possibly care less about Riddle now.
Yeah.
I didn't want to care about him during the Rollins feud, but the match at Clash at the Castle was so good that he was kind of involuntarily did. Yeah, I don't care about this match. I don't think it's going to be particularly good. I think it's going to go long for long's sake. I do think the turn happens tonight. And yeah, it's going to take a pretty near career best individual performance or series of them on the part of Riddle to make any of this interesting.
I just hope someone gets a guitar shot. It's been a while since I've seen one of them. So I'm looking forward to it. Sige, tonight, WWE Hall of Famer JBL really raises the ante when he holds an invitational poker tournament. Not my words, the words of WWE.com. What's going on? JBL invitational poker tournament. I realize he's been doing weird stuff with Corbin involving poker, but
I don't know if it was just World Cup fever, but you sound very much like Gary Lineker there. Very, very glib, very professional. I think that's what you strive for in life.
Always.
I think this is going to be some kind of show-long storyline.
Just that was a shrug, ladies and gentlemen.
Like, you know, people come, people go.
Was the Tozawa thing last week, or was that 2 weeks ago?
2 weeks ago.
A bit of 2000 vibes to this. Mm-hmm. The APA used to do it.
Ron Simmons showing up, dropping a damn.
Yes. I don't really care.
A door that you don't need to walk through. WWE used to be charming though, didn't it? That was a really charming gag, that door.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a Baron Corbin feud at the end of it.
So someone's going to take all of his money. Tozawa rematch? Have they had a match yet?
No, they haven't. This is the thing. He started messing with him, hasn't he? He nicked JBL's hat. They treat him like Dink and Max Mini week. And that's where we're at with them. I don't know.
Dexter Loomis going to be a poker prodigy there?
He's got a poker face.
Oh,
yes.
Yes. We just cracked the case, boys.
That thing where the camera's unconvincingly trained on a Baron Corbin's face. I just can't read this guy, man. Like, he just keeps losing, like, hand after hand after hand, and then... Like,
Loomis, he can't really do this on a audio medium, but he's got that face that he does. Yeah. It's one where he doesn't blink, and everyone, like, loves it for some stupid reason. It's like, I just can't read this guy. He must have a great hand. He's not showing any nervous tics. And then, God, I fold, is that it?
Yeah.
I fold. And then, like, Loomis's got no cards or a bad
seven
hand.
7-2, that's the worst hand you can have.
What is it?
7-2.
Why is that so bad?
It's the lowest...
9's a big number.
It's the lowest possible pairing of numbers that you can't get straight with.
Yeah, good knowledge.
Mr. Poker!
You kept that quiet. You got a poker face all your own.
He hasn't got a poker face. I play poker.
It's too bloody long. Get on with it. I'm too giddy. I'm like,
Mate, you record a 4-hour Dungeons & Dragons podcast?
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, cool, head off. Like, that's where we get your podcast from.
Could you imagine Johnny Gargano turning up to help Dexter with one of them green visors? Like, dressed like a croupier.
Johnny Gargano is going to have pocket aces, and he's going to go, I'm not telling you, but I might have a good hand here. Just get back to Johnny Gargano wrestling. Good matches, please.
I'm beginning to like your dark glasses that he wears because, obviously, he obscures his eyes.
Who could be the idiot that turns out is pretty good at poker?
I was going to say Truth, but then Truth's obviously injured, isn't he?
Otis. Chad Gable keeps losing hand after hand.
Yeah.
Chad Gable losing would be good banter.
Yeah, that's good. That's funny.
You've turned it around, you two. And
you know what we've done?
I didn't have to ask to turn to a Sige to say, what's next for Dexter Lewis? It's like two birds, one stone.
So we can just do some World Cup commentary. The worst thing is about that is we've just picked, like, what is the stupid thing WWE would do for this poker thing? Mm. Just without even doing any notes. It's like kind of tossing the old ball around.
Or pigskin around.
The old pigskin back and forward. Like, catch, throw. Good catch.
Interception.
And it's what they'll do.
Yeah.
That was a ludicrously tight bit considering it was a visual one on an audio medium. Girls, later on, you will not believe how slick we were today. I can't listen back to it. I can't hear it. It was slick as...
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Let's talk about Becky Lynch instead, Hamlet. Yeah. She opened the show with last week and had a load of fun in the crowd. And then seemingly aligned, well, not aligned herself, but targeted Damage Control, of course. Is that what's next for her? Like, I've got no issue with in the coming weeks or even building up to the Royal Rumble, a Becky Lynch versus Bayley match. Or will it be, I don't know, Becky teaming with Candice LeRae to take on the tag team champions? Are we going to get that weird guy Zachary back? Or what?
I sure hope not. All of the above, but centered mainly around Becky and Bayley, I think. I really quite like that. I'm a huge Bayley fan, but I'd be lying on this podcast if I said she's delivered it in-ring in the way that we'd expect. You want to put it down to rust or just the Damage Control act simply not working. The heel character no longer connecting in the way that it did. It isn't... As a heel, she was something of a necessity, I think, in WWE's pandemic, and just has never felt like that since returning as a heel. For crowds that have just wanted to...
Japan are doing well, apparently. Carry on.
That's right. Like, for crowds that have wanted to embrace her and have not been given the opportunity to. So what you're left with is just trying to enjoy the match quality, which for the most part hasn't been there. Flashes of it with Bianca Belair, flashes of it in the feud, but never across one single match, just little flashpoints in their matches. So maybe this is a Triple H move. Becky Lynch versus Bayley is not quite pay-per-view headlining stuff, but is surprisingly big for both of them as the stuff to do over Christmas in the run-up to the Royal Rumble.
Particularly non-title.
Yeah, of which you assume they will both be in the Rumble. As you say, with Damage Control having the tag belts, possession of the tag belts, it seems natural to use this increased presence of these new women that have returned. Someone like Candice LeRae gives everybody a bit of ring time. Becky Lynch can give the rub to people. Like, we've seen that done now with her star power. And as a babyface, immediately last week, it felt nice, her being back on that side of things. So, I don't know. I think Becky and Bayley is the way to go. I just hope this is that thing that Bayley needs. It just doesn't feel like she's really gotten a groove back.
She's a face turn.
That is the thing she needs realistically. And that's why we've been kind of like previewing a split that never seems to come with Damage Control. But there's worse things than Becky Lynch and Bayley.
Yeah, I think the face turn's incoming, but I think you can hold off on it until after this Becky Lynch feud. And I suppose also, Sige, with the numbers thing that they often be like, okay, right, well, we need me and him to make this the right numbers, blah, blah, blah. You've got Bayley, Dakota Kai, Io Sky, two of which are obviously the tag team champions, and you'd have Bayley pairing off with Becky Lynch. You could arguably do that, and then for the women's tag team titles, that are still inexplicably a thing, Dakota Kai and Io Sky defending against Candice LeRae and Tegan Nox, who of course returned on SmackDown.
Yeah, that's the benefit of bringing so many people back, seemingly without direction, is that you can think of a direction later.
Canonically, didn't Tegan Nox, her last appearance in NXT, did she not return to get revenge on Candice LeRae and cost her and Indy Hartwell a tag team titles? Because they were like,
you're the only one alive who'll remember. Okay, because you actually liked it and paid attention, and everybody else is like a near octogenarian.
And everybody else pretended that they were watching and weren't.
Yeah.
Because we're
the
only ones that said, oh, it's really good that NXT's changed. And they went, how dare you? And then they saw it.
Yeah.
Oh, you were right, actually.
That's one way of doing it. Look, I can't get excited about Becky Lynch and what next for her because she's feuding with a heel Bayley and heel Bayley's death. I'm sorry. In retrospect, in hindsight, she did such a miraculous job of getting over with that particular WWE character, which is just incredibly grating and obnoxious to an extent that I don't really want to see her get her ass kicked. I just don't. Like, I'm not entertained by this. I don't hate this person. I don't love to hate this person. It's just change the channel heat. It's go away heat. It is absolute death. It's been taken too far. She should have returned as a babyface because the fans were just desperate to see her back. She got a really good reception at SummerSlam. This is the way it always happens. Keep it simple, stupid. Triple H, and I know the rap is, I know, like skulls and metal and intense characters, and I'm going to be serious as a character direction. Well, what distinguishes you from everybody else? Either completely serious or a complete goof. But be that as it may, Bayley was a creation of the original NXT when Triple H was booking at the peak of his powers. I've got no goddamn reason, other than the guy's lost the plot and he remains coasting off the incredibly low bar that he inherited from Vince McMahon to his immense sort of acclaim as a result. He needs to turn this woman babyface as quickly as is humanly possible because his heel character is absolute death. She gets what chance? She is barely over. Yeah, I think the War Games match got a better reaction than they expected as a result of a TV stuff, but no one really cares about her week to week. Do this if you must. It's two big stars. They probably care about having an all-star clash at the Rumble more than anything else, not least of which the quality of the TV. But my God, it is time to get Bayley back as a babyface. I'm rapidly forgetting how good she was. She was amazing.
In terms of Bianca Belair, you've got several options like for an interim. I don't know whether you're going to do. I would assume at the Rumble they're going to do her and Alexa Bliss. And I'm just going to keep asking this question every week on the preview until it actually happens. Is this the week that they alluded to it even more so last week with her being sort of distracted in that backstage interview with the team. Oh, you were so successful at War Games. She's like, yeah, Becky's good, I suppose. Is it this week that she finally shows her true colours? Would you have Nikki Cross be sort of like an interim challenger before you go for the road to the pay-per-view with Alexa Bliss for Bianca Belair?
Yeah, maybe. Hamlet's probably better equipped to answer this one. Look, it's a bit rubbish, isn't it? It's a bit rubbish.
Well, the Alexa Bliss stuff.
A lot of the women's division still.
Yeah.
He's got the personnel now.
Yeah.
He needs to start telling stories with this. That don't make my arsehole cringe inside out.
There was a...
It's like a rosebud.
It's a very NXT thing of Triple H to have done this, but the best thing he has done probably with the women's division in the last 6 to 8 weeks was positioning Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair together on screen. Yes. Before either were a part of War Games, before you could even entertain the idea that they were going to be brought together in time for the Royal Rumble, let's say, or WrestleMania, because it was an acknowledgement that these are the two biggest stars and you want to look at what that might look like.
Yeah.
You know, immediate on-screen chemistry and this idea that, like, yes, that's the all-star match. Get to that eventually. It's occurred to me, you know how if Bray Wyatt had attacked LA Knight, well, I would have finished the job. So yeah. He's claiming it wasn't him. What if it was Alexa Bliss?
Ooh.
Well, she attacked LA Knight. I pushed all that stuff on him somehow.
Actually.
Yeah.
Pushed the box-like structure on top of LA Knight.
Exactly. Yeah. I think...
I've heard a podcast where LA Knight would probably be happy about that. But that's a bit of inside baseball.
I think
that's
this
not a bad shout.
Yeah. I think this is a now and a Rumble thing. I think this Alexa thing is Bianca's... Everything through to January deal. There's no opponent in the meantime. She can beat somebody in a match if they really want it, but I never think that's how you book Bianca Belair as a champion anyway. When she wrestles, there should be a bit of spectacle around it. I don't really like watching her as a regular. She's just not one of them champions. Bianca should have been paying attention that Alexa's, like, we can see it on television. So at some point she can say, well, I've been sick of you for ages. And what's getting inside Alexa's head, perhaps? Oh, it's an upside-down bee's ass on a Flash Not a Titan song.
If it is Alexa, right, she didn't finish the job, man. You just buried your little jailbait there.
That's true.
I'm not saying that's not why it hasn't happened. I'm just saying it'll be yet another theoretical hole in the story.
I'm going to have to call my group the Wyatt 6 out of 10 because they can't do anything right. stuck with Karrion Kross and Bo Dallas and all the other losers.
Finally, you know me, I'm the positive
guy. We're finished already.
Yeah, well, there's not. This is what I was about to get to. It annoys
you. Tell us, World Cup.
You know how positive I am with normally when it comes, especially like WWE and Raw, especially because I know you two come out for 3 hours on this bollocks.
Yeah.
I know. Come on, it's good. It's pissing me off, right? That I come in here every week and I've got one or two things to make, and I just have to drag some stuff out of my arse to be like, what's next for?
Bingo.
The Taz one. Really like that one from the 5-star review. Ooh,
is that still on there?
It's the music.
Bingo!
Love that. It's not on.
Well, this is what I was about to get to. So it's annoying that they advertise one match and a inexplicable storyline development. So I thought, you know what? I'm not just going to sit here and sulk. I'm going to come in here with a pitch for you instead. Rather than just saying, oh, what's next on the whole... Hang on, we've got to kill a bit of time. On the whole storyline with US champion Austin Theory and Seth Rollins. Sick
Magic! God, I'm going to listen to this music. And you wouldn't know anymore. That's not going to hit the rumble.
It shocks like me year, on every roar. I'm like, who's this guy? Oh, yeah. His new music, not new. So, I've just written an idea down. I thought I'd run it past you, basically.
Great.
So, Austin Theory is your new United States champion. United States Championship, which has been, you know, occasionally defended on a regular basis on television, open challenges, etc., etc. But Austin Theory's an arsehole. And the whole thing last week was like, I want to face you. And he's like, we'll face you on my time, because I'm a twat. Right? Or a twat.
Twat. With an O, goddammit, can't you spell?
World Cup. Full of twats. They already kicked our ass out of there. So plain home for us guys.
I thought I'd steal something from those guys over there. Huh? And I think Austin Theory tonight should say, you know what, Seth Rollins? I will face you for my United States Championship. If you can run my gauntlet, that is. And I think you should, every week, present a challenger for Seth Rollins up until Royal Rumble or a big show to kick off the year for, I don't know if they do a year premiere on Monday Night Raw, wouldn't be surprising. So you could just have mint Seth Rollins matches on telly every week. Just like, this week you have to beat Chad Gable. Oh, this week you've got to beat Bobby Lashley or whoever it may be.
That genuinely works for me. Seth Rollins has found that groove and found that rhythm in ring, so the work would be decent. Sometimes it might even be better than decent. Also, it actually elevates both the US title and Austin Theory as a prize, because one of the reasons that MJF trope was so successful is because it reminded you every single week that the whatever endurance test or whatever the babyface was going through, it was just for the mere privilege of getting to beat up MJF. Austin Theory could do with that kind of platform to be put upon. And him having some fun, like the US title, the Intercontinental titles trope under Vince McMahon was like, a champion goes out there and says, Mr. Perfect, Bret the Hitman Hart, Shawn Michaels, Greater Carnell champions.
Oh, someone think of the legacy.
And you're gonna be saying that about Eric Escobar. And then, like, sure enough, the next guy would fail. And it would just go on and on and on like that forever. The US title one is, because, like, Cena's run was incredible. Like, United States Open Challenge. What if Theory does the United States Closed Challenge?
Yeah.
And he just bans anybody getting a shot. And that
like
becomes...
Jericho stuff.
Yeah.
Basically, we've arrived at the way to save WWE's television is to do AEW tropes in it.
Big Body Harvey and Austin Theory.
Yeah.
Take bland guys and give them Jericho bits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it works for me. Yeah, it'll be all right.
I like that.
They do it again tonight, impromptu.
So. I know for certain, one thing I do know, Michael Sidgwick, is that Michael Havlick can't wait to review this show tomorrow, can you?
I'm buzzing. Absolutely buzzing. I'll probably be in first tomorrow, if anything.
Me and Sid reviewing Monday Night Raw tomorrow. Michael Havlick enjoying a well-earned day off.
Enjoying, doing a lot of work there.
But anyway, let us know your thoughts.
It's December. It's busy. No, I'm not like you. I'm staying here, being into Christmas. Everything's different. It's going to be fine.
Okay, good. Let us know your thoughts ahead of Monday Night Raw on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch they can follow all three of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at...
Michael Hamflett.
Follow Michael Sidgwick at...
Sidgwick.
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. As I said, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from. For daily wrestling podcasts, me and Hamflett reviewed SmackDown. Me and Sidge reviewed Rampage earlier on today. And me and Sidge will be back to review Monday Night Raw tomorrow. Still time to suggest your five-star review, something short, crap, wrestling-related, for us to review instead of something on Monday Night Raw. You can do so either by leaving us a five-star review on Apple Podcasts and just writing your five-star review there, or if you want to do so, you can leave us a five-star review on Spotify. Screenshot it.
Proof. We need the proof.
Obviously. And then just email it to me, adam.wilborn@whatculture.com. But for now, this has been the Raw Preview. My thanks to the Dudley Boys. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.